The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Everybody, hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
What's up, Ben? How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing cool. Pretty good. Yeah. Actually, I'm still in the process of like getting through like an unwellness.
Oh no, yeah.
Still.
Man,
I tell you what, like it reminds me so much of getting married at Disney back on January 6th. 2020.
Right. Yeah.
You know, good times.
Right. A historically great date for you.
Yes. It's been wonderful. Yes. Yeah. I've really enjoyed every second of it.
Yes.
No, actually the wedding was pretty amazing, but the aftermath of getting what we've always kind of looked back on and been like, oh, it was almost definitely COVID because we were like direly ill. We were in this international hotspot. Like Alice and I both very specifically remember like losing our sense of taste because we like went on like a little mini moon in St. Augustine where we were supposed to get like this like beef Wellington dish from this like super fancy restaurant and we like couldn't taste it.
Yeah, no one could diagnose it. It wasn't the flu,
right?
It was the worst ever.
And I remember getting home and going back to the gym with our trainer and just being like, man, like I am just like tired, you know, like I just don't feel like I'm like back to myself. Like I don't have like the gusto.
Right.
Like I did. And he's like, and I remember him like, you know, kind of being like, yeah, you know, like you got married, you had a wedding, your brain's been working overtime for months. Like, you know, and then you guys got sick and you were traveling and it's Disney. And it was like, everything was like easy enough to explain.
Right.
As like, yeah, that makes sense.
Well,
fair enough. But yeah, this particular ailment, I feel like I have come home from it and it has just been like lingering, like, you know, it's like I've got this like aftermath effect where it's just like every night I'm like, you know, it's like 8:45 p.m. and I'm like, I'm ready to call it.
That's,
you know,
about
like,
it, man.
I am so tired. Then
I've like started, there's almost been like a guilty pleasure sometimes in going to sleep early. Yeah, have you experienced that?
I think that I might slowly be starting to like find it.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, I would have said that like going to bed early for me was accompanied by massive FOMO.
Right.
Like, and fear of missing out on what? I have no idea.
I know what you mean. Probably being like awake. You know, being awake, talking to your friends on AIM, probably, you know? Think like, of all the Diablo 2 you could be playing.
You could be playing games. You could be watching stuff. You could be like learning more things that make you more capable as a conversationalist. In the real world, it's like, and especially like if you like wake up and then, you know, you basically wake up, have breakfast, get ready for work, go to work all day, come home, parent until 8, and then it's 8:45 and you're like about to go to bed.
Yeah,
it's like I've had 45 minutes today that were not dedicated to some other facet of my life that isn't just like my own self.
Yeah.
And so it's like you need the time, like to be awake, you know? So it's like, and for whatever reason, I feel like time before work, even if I got up at like 5 a.m., I feel like would not qualify as like time for me time.
Right. Cause it would, I mean, not that you couldn't, but it would seem like weird to get up at like 5 a.m. and then just like be like, all right, it is time to go play some Diablo 2 or something.
Right. Like if I was waking up like, you know, like hours before I needed to go play video games for 2 hours seems so much worse than just staying up 2 hours later than I should.
Well, because like the hours after you've woken up are often like kind of dreary. Like you're still waking up. You're not like fully mentally like going yet. Whereas at the end of the day, like that's not typically a problem. It's not like moments before you fall asleep is not the same as moments after you've woken up.
No, it's just not. But like this was the thing, you know, growing up, like I feel like you actually did take pretty well advantage of. Like you would get up at 6, you'd go downstairs and you'd start like watching cartoons and stuff. And like by the time I got up at like 7:15 or 7:30, you've already had like an hour and a half of like leisure time.
Yeah. I do remember, I mean, once upon a time, ironically, it's still fueled by like that FOMO though.
Oh, you okay. Know? Yeah.
Like Like, because I don't know if you remember this, I'm sure you do, but like, you know, when Pokemon was coming out, you know, when we were kids,
yeah,
like the for Gen 1, and it was, you know, at first it was the games, then there was like the cards and the TV show and stuff, but it seemed to me, and feel free to corroborate this, that what time the Pokemon TV show came on was whatever time we needed to leave the house at.
100%.
Right?
Yes, because it was like, you would hear like the Pokemon like song fire up, and it would be like, oh my gosh, I would give any portion of like my soul to be able to watch the next half hour.
Right. To do it. And like, you'd always have been like, you'd have known it was coming on. It would say it over and over. And in the meantime, you're having to watch all these other terrible cartoons you don't care about because you don't have streaming. You can't just choose to put it on.
No.
You know, you just have to wait. And then the moment it's about to come on, it's time to get in the car. We have to go do something.
You're right.
You're like, this is why couldn't it just come on earlier? Then I would have been satisfied.
Right.
But no.
You know, it's funny because like I went down like a click hole the other day that was like somebody on Subreddit, or on Reddit rather, asking like, what did people do before GPS? And it's probably the kind of thing that I could see an older generation above us being like, you guys have it so easy. Like, even like us going out on tour, like mapping our ability to like get to, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, zero concerns.
Zero
like,
concerns.
I lose zero sleep over how we will get there.
Same.
You know,
same.
I know the hardest part of it is just the 7 hours in the car that it mandates to get from point A to point B.
Right.
But like at some point in time, the amount of effort and energy you would need to put into like poring over the maps and learning, you know, like which routes were the best routes to get from those two locations would be like a massive part of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, I'm going to do this whole thing and, you know, listening to the, you know, older people write in basically just being like, this is what we used to do. And like, sometimes I still like to, you know, map my vacation by hand just so I know when I get there, and it gives me like a sense of like peace. But like, one of the things that we grew up with that I feel like our children will never know is the like lack of access to a time-based event that was the TV show you wanted to watch being on.
Oh, I mean, the fact that they can pick and choose any TV show they want from all of history at any moment is like wild. When we were left to what's on right now.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, I mean, and like, you know, it was like almost one of those things too, where like the TV channel Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
I feel like as a kid was almost like in cahoots with parents to turn off like cartoon-based programming by like 8 p.m.
Right.
So then it would become Nick at Night, which was more like for adults.
A little bit, or else like but it was often still very family friendly, but it would be like the shows from like the 60s or whatever, you know, the Brady Bunch would come on, or the Wonder Years or something.
Yeah, Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island, yeah.
What is it? What was Lucy Ball from?
Oh, I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
What was the Genie show?
Oh yeah, Genie in a Bottle?
I Dream of Genie. Yes. Bewitched.
Yep. So like all of these shows would come on, and like I think that there was, you know, like a like an age line that's drawn in the sand, at least this is how I felt, like where it was almost like it's still TV, which is still better than like nothing, but I don't really understand a lot of like the plots or the jokes or you know, any of that type of stuff that was going on. Like a lot of it just like went over my head.
Sure.
You know, so just it was like, well, okay, I guess this is all we have now.
This is all we have now. Yeah. Yeah, so our kids won't have that. But like, here's the thing is that like there is a world where I feel like our grandchildren like won't even have to interact with the GPS, you know? Like right now, we still have to get in the car and plug in where the GPS wants to go, and it'll map it for you, no problem.
Right.
But then you still have to like drive there personally.
That's true.
You know
true.
What I mean?
You still have to
navigate the roads, but there could totally be a world where even that's not even a thing anymore, where it's just like, you just get in the car and it just takes you. You don't have to pay attention at all.
Right.
You know? Heck, I'm saying it like roads are even going to be the future. You get in your personal hovercraft and it just drones you over to where you want, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah, I know. And that would be so amazing, because like this reminds me of like the best ski resort that we have access to is in West Virginia. It's called Snowshoe Mountain. And like as the crow flies from Roanoke, it's like 60 miles away.
Yeah.
It takes 3.5 hours to get there.
Yeah. Cause you gotta drive forever one way and then cut back and then wind up the mountain and blah.
Right. And then if it's snowing and you've got somebody in front of you going like 8 miles an hour, it's just like, well, this is it.
That's it.
But also it would occur to me that like places like that where they still don't have like good cell service might be like the very, very, very last places to ever get point A to point B.
Right.
Travel.
You're right. Okay, now we can go to Snowshoe, but it's like, no, you still can't because there's no cell service and no GPS tracking up there. And also the cold weather makes it difficult for the functions of the machine to work. And
right. Yes. You know, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry.
Exactly. I know. And then, I mean, then you start to wonder too, like even like the shape of cars as we know them, like will they even look the way that we know cars to look, or will we all like drive around in like, I almost imagine like an ice cream truck, like a square block with wheels on it because it's like a living room, you know, like, and if every single person is driving in like an automated vehicle, it's also the kind of thing where you're like, you might not need like seatbelts anymore because like you're not dealing with the human error of driving.
Like, there's no crashes.
No crashes. Like, you know, every single thing is safety automated to keep a safe distance from the vehicle in front of you.
Right.
And like that also means cars can go like way faster.
Way faster. That'd be why you need the seatbelt all of a sudden. It's like, it's not because there's crashes, it's because now we can just travel at 120 miles an hour all the time.
All the time.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Because all the cars are talking to each other and they know not to touch each other and they know exactly where they're going and how to do it perfectly.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
What's comical is that probably accidents on the whole and like driving related collisions would go down drastically, but I bet anxiety, especially for the first generation
for a
of
while,
people,
yeah,
would be extremely high because it's like it's kind of like how flights tend to be like safer than driving in cars, but some people are still afraid of, you know, going in an airplane because it goes way up in the sky, but also because you have no agency over the transportation,
right?
You know, and it's like even like on a train, it feels like there's like rails, which is not like agency. It's not like you get like control over that situation, but like, on some level, it can't go anywhere other than on the rails. Whereas like a plane, once it's in the sky, could theoretically go anywhere.
Right.
You know, like
go anywhere.
You know, and
do you think we're going to find out in like 20 years, they're going to be like, yeah, we've just been having the pilots sit up there to create the illusion that we still needed pilots for customer anxiety, but no one's flown a plane for US Airways for the last decade. It has all been like...
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
They are there like, you know, break glass in case of emergency.
Right.
It's like you pretty much don't need to do anything. If that red light flashes, you need to take control and you need to be trained on how to control it.
Right.
For that purpose. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, yeah, it wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. It would surprise me if that was already happening. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point that reality becomes a reality.
Right.
You know, where it's like we kept a human around for a decade longer than we needed to just to keep people comfortable with the idea that this was being driven on its own.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's see, Ben. So guess what today is?
Today is February 23rd, 2026.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Aha! Yeah. I guessed correctly. Is it anything else?
It is also Nick and Nate's birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday, Nicholas and Nathan.
I know. They're 6 years old. I can't believe it. It's crazy.
It's pretty freaking wild. Like this is another like one of those things that it's like, I'm sure every generation is like, I'm going to say it to the generation beneath me. They will also not understand it the same way that I didn't understand it. And they will eventually say the same thing to the next generation and so on and so forth. And there is no way to properly comprehend the idea that it goes by so fast until you're living it.
Until you're living it.
And then you're like, oh, it is unfathomable to me to think that they are already six and it only takes two more sixes for them to be 18.
Yeah.
And then they're like, by all accounts, adults.
Right.
You know, and it's
right.
like what?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, like the Winter Olympics ended yesterday, I think. There was a closing ceremony. Which also meant that was it yesterday morning when the US hockey game was?
Yes, USA versus
USA
Canada.
Versus Canada. For the gold medal match, which, man, what a great thing to wake up to.
It really, really was such an occasion.
Yeah.
Like, I had, like, every group chat in my phone all going off at once. People were, like, edge of their seat.
Yes.
You know, it's like everybody who knows nothing about hockey is all of a sudden like, well, this is the biggest game that's ever happened.
I know. It was like, I don't really watch hockey ever, but, and like, I will joke sometimes about baseball where it's like, do you watch baseball? And it's like, you know what? If it's like game 7 of the World Series, I'm like, I'll probably turn it on. You know?
Yes.
Like, yeah. If it ended in 6, I probably didn't catch it. But if they made it to 7,
then, you know, that's the master stroke.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in. And this, I mean, but this was game 7, effectively.
This was game
like,
7.
I mean, this was like the two best teams in the gold medal round, which is also like the last event of the Olympics. And the USA won a record-setting number of gold medals on the last shot of the last event of the Winter Games.
Right.
Because it became sudden death. So literally the very last action is a shot that goes in.
Right.
Which means it's the last thing.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it all came down to that. And it was such a fun game to watch.
It was a crazy game. You had the United States went up in the first period, and then Canada tied it in the second period. And then the whole third period, you're just waiting. It's just like, who's going to score next? But then no one scored.
Yep.
Even though there was at one point, you know, there were like in hockey, there's, you know, penalty boxes where people can like have to sit out for a couple minutes.
Yes.
And during that time, they're playing man down. And at one point, Canada was two men down.
No, wait.
Yeah. The U.S. was two men down.
U.S. Right? was two men down.
Yeah. The U.S. was two men down. And so you're like, oh my gosh, this is it. We're down 5. It's 5-3 right now. Like, there's no way they don't score on this power play, but they held it together. And then suddenly one of the Canadian players was down. And I was like, oh my God, now it's 4-5, but now it's favoring the U.S. And you're like, oh, could this be it? Could we score? But then inside of that penalty, the U.S. got.
Yeah, another
like,
penalty.
Got another one for like, yeah, and it was just, it kept going back and forth, and you were like, oh my gosh, this is going crazy. And then it came down to sudden death, overtime.
Right.
Yeah. It was very edge of the seat. You're right. Every single one of my group chats was just like popping off. I felt like it was this weird thing that can only happen in sports where you feel so connected to every single other person doing it.
Absolutely.
You know? And like you feel so connected to all the people like you're actually literally talking to and to the people in the room, but then also just like the country, you know, which is the beauty of the Olympics so often. And it felt really cool. I felt like you were watching history when you were watching the U.S. win this right now.
Yes.
Because, well, I mean, like they haven't won the gold medal since like the 1980 miracle game.
Right. So it's been...
Right.
What, 46 years?
46 years. So there's that. But like that game is called the Miracle Game because for like there's two main reasons it sticks out. One is because like the United States was playing with like amateur hockey college players.
Right. They weren't using NHL players.
Yeah, they weren't using NHL players. So they have this team they scrapped together in like 6 months, and they were not considered like, you know, even just making it out of the opening group round would have been a victory.
Right.
But
let alone medal contenders.
Against them, their main competition, if they were going to try and get the gold medal, was the Soviet Union. And they had won back-to-back-to-back Olympic games.
Right.
So you have this like young team of scrappy Americans against this super professional Russian like dynasty,
yeah,
which is there. But then it's all elevated to this fever pitch that was like the Cold War. And it felt like whoever won that game like was like it was a big deal for the country in those specific terms.
Yes.
And the U.S. winning that like really was like a huge victory for the American people. And I honestly felt very similar about this hockey game, not because we were at a Cold War with Canada.
right. No.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
Not at all. But because it feels like America is in a real place of division within itself.
Yes.
At the moment. Like,
I think that's put lightly.
Yes. And I think you know what I'm talking about. It's just everything's very charged at the moment. And every day it feels like you're waking up to worse and worse news. But yesterday I got to wake up and feel extremely American and like connected to the other people of the country. And it felt like what it was a victory for wasn't, it was a victory for the American people being united. And the fact that it was against Canada, who is just known as the big hockey giant.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I mean, no part of me, that's like the only part of the narrative is that like, when you watch the movie Miracle, they can kind of like caricature the Russians a little bit. Like their coach has kind of got these like severe eyebrows.
Right.
And they seem intense and like they don't smile. And like, I think they even say that in the movie. It's like, do these guys ever smile?
I think they do say that.
You know, and obviously then like you think of like Canada and they're like our most friendly neighbor.
Right. Right.
And they did put them in red jerseys with black maple leaves on them. And I was like, someone somewhere was writing a script.
Right. Yeah.
Because I was like, the jerseys feel like very Durmstrang. Like, for Canada, who otherwise, you know, seem to be just pure delight people.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So the fact that it was Canada, there was nothing like it. It felt like the USA needed to win that for so that everyone in America could have something they agreed on for
a minute. Yeah.
And just like remind people what that felt like. And it felt like just awesome, you know? So that was what I was like experiencing when I watched the shot go in. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it just happened, you know?
Yes.
It was like, and you know, the whole family sitting there watching it and it was so cool.
It was really cool. It was. And like, you know, there were like two brothers, you know, like one of which was the one that like scored the winning goal, and the one who scored the winning goal's teeth got like knocked out like earlier in the game. So like he's giving this like toothy hockey smile.
Right.
Like, you know, like literally just broke it like blood, you know,
right stuff. Coming out of
you're like everything about it was just sort of like, oh my gosh, like what a marvelous story.
I know, so great. It was so funny that the guy's not funny, but like the toothy grin, it reminded me so much of 2024 when the Celtics won the championship.
Okay.
Because the same thing happened to one of their players, Derek White, where he like hit the floor hard and like, you know, it was like the middle of the game,
right?
But he like got up and there's all these amazing pictures of him like smiling after they've won and his teeth are just like crooked and all over the place. And he like got it fixed the next day, obviously, but like couldn't do it in the game and he kept playing. And it was just like, oh man. So there's just, but then he won and, you know, he was so happy and stuff. So that, I thought that was funny. And for what it's worth, the Celtics also beat the Lakers yesterday. So it was a great sports day.
Great day all around. Yeah. Even though the head coach for the Lakers is currently at Cape Spring High School.
That's
alumni.
True. The head coach of the Lakers, Little Colonels, is on the Cave Spring Notable Alumni page on Wikipedia that we are apparently not allowed to be on.
Apparently not.
That I don't think you should stop trying.
Right.
But yeah, he's on there. JJ Redick. You might have heard of him.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's, good enough to coach them past the Celtics, but you know.
Well, oh, good point.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That rivalry is forever put to rest. The Celtics have won and now the rest of it is history.
That's it. They do presently have more championships, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like the interesting thing here is like there's that famous phrase about sports where it's like, you know, sports the most important, unimportant thing in the world.
Yeah.
And in some way, it's almost like you can watch sports and be like, ours? Like, you know, maybe not like sports specifically, but like, you know, these symbolic representations of, you know, like effort and camaraderie and fair play and, you know, like strength and like, I don't know, like there's something beautiful about what sports represent about right. like the meaning of life.
I mean, there's a lot like to take away from it because, you know, like playing, you know, there's a lot to learn. Like if you're a parent and you're like, you know, kids are on a team or something, it's like it's a great way for them to learn how to like celebrate their victories but also be humble and also learn how to move forward after defeat and how to like get over a loss and stuff like that.
Yes. I mean, it's like you're learning like adversity and like I said, you know, like fair play
right.
and yeah, humility and lots of really, really, really important things. Like we were talking about this actually just a little bit before we turned our microphones on for the day, but like how growing up in like a lot of way, like sports were our church, like we didn't have like a, there was no religious undertone, but it was like, it's like what we did.
Right. Right. Like, you know, not for like the purpose of like worshiping God, but I don't, that like when I think about it, sometimes I don't think it is that different from going to church, you know, like I think you can get a lot of the same things out of sports as you do from going to church in terms of like you are, you know, participating with your community. You are learning, you know, good values.
Right.
You are, you know, probably attending potlucks, you know.
Right.
There's David versus Goliath stories. There's learning to be like humble and to, you know, help out your teammates and just like there's a lot of that out there, you know,
to
be had in the world of sport.
Well, and I think that's like a huge thing that like maybe religion does in like a more intentional way, where it's like community plus a desire to improve oneself.
Right.
You know, but I think that that's where like, you know, community in general, a lot of times it's like you've come together because you have a shared, you know, view, a shared set of views over something. But a lot of times that does push people towards like community. I think community is just a generally good thing for the world.
Well, it's been so interesting now that like my kids have started doing a little bit of sports and stuff. Like we'll have like this past weekend, you know, we got like, you know, we had a game at 9 and we had a game at 11, you know?
Right.
And we're hopping around town and it's like it, you know, even the fact that it's like it happens weekly on the weekend feels like, you know, ritualistic in the same way that like a church might be.
Sure.
You know, and it's like you get there and you're surrounded by people in your community. Our fan, you know, that Beth's dad and our dad came to both games. You know, you're like moving around with your family and stuff.
Right.
Which is stuff. And then and like as a parent too, like when I was a kid playing sports, all that mattered, you know, was winning or whatever.
Sure.
You know, the other team was just the villains and we had to go beat them and whatever.
Yeah, right,
In, you know, in the way that, you know, kids think of sports sometimes. But like as an adult, it is so, it's like, it's so different where like, of course, I'm so excited to see Nick and Nate and Luke play and stuff. But like I am equally excited to go see like Luke's teammates play, who like week after week you get to see them improve as well, and you're sitting there with their parents and you're talking to them, and you know, like even like you still like seeing the kids on the other team play well.
Yeah,
you know, like we had someone came up afterwards, I just like I watched this happen next to us. Luke has a buddy named Augustus, and him and his parents were like walking to the car, and Gus is, he's very good. So like, but like player, like parents from the other team were just like walking next to him and was like, man, your son's so good. Like it was so fun watching him and stuff. And it was just like that is so cool, you know?
Yes.
Just that, like, it's so like in it, like that the other team is coming over and just saying like, wow, really cool. That was fun to watch kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, that is what it's about and stuff like that. So I don't know. I thought that it's been really fun watching everyone get into the sports. And in fact, so we had those games and then everyone kind of went home to like go chill. But because it's their birthday, I was like, Luke, do you want to go out and get like Nick and Nate some like pick out some birthday gifts for him? So, you know, he could go through the process of, you know, picking stuff out for his brothers or whatnot.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went and did that. And that was fun. But whilst we were at the store, had to pick up the boys' big birthday gift from, you know, from mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
And what we got them was a basketball hoop for the backyard.
No way.
Yes, I know. So I'm pretty excited to get that set up at some point in the future. It was like the weather here on Saturday was glorious. I was like, this is the best weather. It is perfect outside. And since then it has been cold and windy.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, come on. Temperature, get back up there. So I haven't set it up yet or anything, but I'm very excited to get it set up, and I think they're going to have a blast out there just shooting and stuff. So
will the boys grow up in a world where they like somehow like are being like interviewed for like local TV news because they're like on the varsity squad for Cape Spring High School or whatever, and they'll be like, so like how did your ball handling skills get so good? And it's like, well, you know, growing up, we had a grass court.
We had a grass court in the backyard, exactly.
You know, and so it's like you got real used to the ball taking some strange bounces. So then when you're out there on like a regulation, I mean, good. Goodness.
Yeah,
I'm imagining your boys having like a small southern like
where did the boys pick up this deep southern accent?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it just feels like it has to be like part of their lore.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
If they're practicing on that grass court,
you know? I mean, that maybe that's part of it. Yeah. Because it just doesn't seem like, you know, like a neutral voice kid is gonna be like, yeah, I grew up with a grass basketball court in my backyard. It sounds better. Right. You know, we had a grass basketball court.
Right.
Know?
Exactly. Right.
And we were like, there. Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of making him a little Owen Wilson.
I know. But you know, when you even when you think like the first Dude Perfect video, that was just backyard trick shots, you know.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah. So is the short term game plan just set it up in the grass?
The short term game plan is set it up in the grass, yes.
Okay. And then what happens if the ball goes over the fence? They have to chase it down the hill?
They gotta go get it, yeah.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to go get it.
I mean, that is also part of it. I think you learn some really good downhill running.
I think you do. I think my plan is not gonna be to put the like back it up to the fence.
Ah.
Where, you know, I'm just gonna like put it like almost in the middle of the yard. So there's a forgiveness zone for missing.
Forgiveness zone. I'm confused.
Yeah, right.
You know, it feels like
you missed. You're running.
Yeah.
You don't drop my ball.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like the cul-de-sac we grew up on was at like the top of this like huge hill, which largely meant that every sport we played, there was like the perfect storm drain for all of our frisbees to go down.
Yeah.
Which they did. You know, the same storm drain could accept like hockey pucks,
yep,
or balls.
Balls, yeah.
Of which we played a little bit of, you know, growing up. The basketball fortunately wouldn't fit in there. Neither would the soccer ball.
Didn't need to. Could go right over it, roll down on top of the hill instead.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yes. And I mean, and there was probably like a quarter mile hill to the right of our house where like if you overshot the basketball and it went down that way.
Oh, one down that way.
I mean, like you might chase it into like next week.
I mean, yeah, that one, that was pretty rare for it to go that way, but not unheard of.
Yeah.
In fact, like when I think about it now, like if it was me now, I'd be like, man, I don't even know if it's worth setting up a basketball hoop. You're gonna miss down the hill all the time,
right?
You know. But obviously that wasn't a problem. It really wasn't a problem most of the time.
Well, I mean, most of the time, I guess, yeah, you know, we're good enough, you know.
Yeah.
We're
as long as you hit the basket, you're good, right? Well,
the consequences for missing were quite great.
Exactly. That's the thing. Maybe that's the real motivator. It's like, really try and aim though, okay?
Yeah.
Don't just like hook it up there, you know?
I mean, because then if it went to the left too, then it went down into like the runoff field.
The storm drain, yeah.
Yeah, and that was like just like craggy rocks.
That was no good.
They were equal parts heavy and in rickety.
Yeah.
So like as you like try to like venture over onto them, it's like they'd like tilt back and forth and cause you to fall into a pile of skinned knees.
Yeah, exactly. Into a pile of skinned knees.
Just literally like, right, like where all the other skinned knees went.
Exactly.
They were still there.
They're probably still there. Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I feel like you gotta have, you know, you gotta have a hoop or how are you gonna get better?
Well, that's true. You know what else I was thinking about the other day is because we've had a lot of snow lately, and when the snow plows go through and they like push a lot of the snow, it's like there's like a glacial effect that leaves a whole bunch of like gravels behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing that I feel like we were regularly contending with, was just like loose gravel on the asphalt around our hoop.
Yeah, no doubt.
So like if you try to pivot too hard, like you fell and once again, skinned knees. Yeah.
When you grow up on the streets.
Like we did. Yeah, I mean, like
learning hoops on the sack, as it were.
On the sack. These were our hardships.
You know, when you learn to ball on the streets.
That's it.
The suburbs.
Right. We didn't even make the middle school team.
I know, man. I'm still mad about that.
Yeah.
For what it's worth.
Right.
You know, whatever. Maybe it was for the best.
Maybe. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's building like the major comeback story, which is like your kids maybe making it.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, right. So that'll be like the thing now. Now that'll be the thing. If my kids make the Cave Spring Middle School basketball team, it'll be like, oh, oh, vengeance is sweet. Yeah, that's Cave it. Spring Middle School. How does that feel? And they'll be like, great, they're good. And they'll be like, I know.
I don't even know
what I'm mad about.
In the end, everybody was just doing their best, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Yeah. When we're at the, sometimes they will have practice literally in the same middle school that I, you know, didn't get chosen from.
Right.
Right. And you can see up on the walls, they have all like the school records throughout history.
No.
I know. Right up there on the wall, they've got like, here's the people who did it. Here's the year they graduated or what year it happened in or whatever. And
I should be on there for pull-ups.
You should be on there for pull-ups. Yeah. Maybe. But I was looking up there. I was like, I wonder if my, you know, is anyone from my year represented up there? And indeed, there are.
Zach Cates.
It is not. No, it is the women's 4x4 relay.
No way.
I know.
They've
still got it. And I was like, that is unbelievable. Because that, like, if you don't know, track and field, the last event of the meet is always the 4x4.
Right.
Right. And it's like, if there is an it relay, it's the 4x4.
Yeah.
I think. And so I cannot believe that this most premier track event is the only thing my generation is holding down.
Man.
All these years later.
How about that?
Crazy.
Back in like 03?
It was 02.
02. 02. Yeah. Goodness.
Yep. Crazy. So I was like, well, there you go. I should, I don't think I was particularly great friends with any of the people who were on it, but I knew them all.
Well,
so there you go.
How about that?
Yeah.
like, you see that, boys? I knew them.
I knew that. This is really funny, is that, as you may expect, that year, they were, I guess, district champions or whatever.
Sure. I mean, sure. It kind of makes sense.
Kind of makes sense.
That or the school's just really bad at this event.
Yeah, right. Historically. But so out in like the trophy case out front, they've got like the team pictures of every like team in the history of the middle school who's like won like districts or regionals or something like that.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So you can go back then. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I'm up here. I don't even remember if we won districts when I played on the soccer team here. We didn't. They won the year before and after, not when I was on.
Oh, no.
Which actually does mean there's a picture of you.
I was going to say.
Because you were on the team the year after.
Yeah.
So there is a picture of you. But even more hilariously is there is a picture of Beth, who was on said track team.
No way!
Yes, yes. And like, it's funny because you listener probably know my wife as quite the runner, but that is a relatively new thing in her life as of like the past 10 years or so.
Sure.
Wherein in high school, middle school, not at all. Not like, I mean, I guess she was on the track team, but she was like, yeah, I did like two events. I think I did like discus and shot put, you know.
And, which even like looking at like Little Beth, it's like,
yeah,
what events for
I know.
You to be
Why
doing?
Why were you doing the throwing events? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Not exactly the build.
Yeah. You know, yeah. typically you want some like a big hulking frame to do those events because you can use your weight to throw that weight.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. So it's like a lot of people who were like really good at those events were like, you know, the football players.
Right.
Like they were like large. You know, like,
yeah. Which Beth was not. She, you know, was petite. So I don't know who signed her up for shot put. Anyway, hilariously, she is pictured up there because the girls won districts that year. So
Wow. That's
so funny.
Good for her.
I know. I was like looking at it with Luke one day and I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if mommy's up here. And I was like, oh my gosh, there she is.
That's so cool.
So that's kind of fun.
That is fun.
Still up there.
Still got it.
Indeed. Oh, speaking of competitions though, Ben. We have some new beef, as it were.
Oh, beef.
We got beef. I mean, you and I have beef.
With George.
Hmm?
With George.
Yeah, not with each other.
No, yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. No, we're good.
We're good. Yeah. No, we have newfound beef with none other than George Weasley himself, Oliver Phelps.
Oliver Phelps, I know, yeah. And he doesn't even know.
He doesn't, which that's the thing. He won't even acknowledge it.
I'm personally offended by it. You know, come
on, I mean, Oliver?
Deeply so. No, so we, in case you guys missed it, we recently did this really fun Jay versus Ben over for Super Carlin Brothers, where we reached out to a bunch of the members of the Harry Potter film cast and hired them on Cameo to read us a question.
Yeah.
So we had like Fred and George Weasley and Seamus Finnegan and
Angelina Johnson and Bem.
Bem, Victor Crumb.
Yeah. Tom, you know, the barkeep.
Yeah, of course. Naturally. Can't miss him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like a really fun event. And it was also like a way for us to launch our own Cameo profile, which we are now available on Cameo. So go and be sure to check us out.
Yep. But not because you want us to send you a message, because you want us to beat Oliver Phelps.
That's right. So apparently there's like a scoreboard system that exists in the world of Cameo, and there's like a top 100, and number like 99 or 98 was Oliver Phelps, aka George Weasley.
Right. He's got like some 220 odd points or something.
Yeah.
You know, we've got like 22 points or something. Yeah,
so he's beating us by like, you know, like a multiple mere
200. Yeah. But when you look at like the top of the leaderboard, the top of the leaderboard's like 1400 or something.
I think it's like 2800.
Like 20. It's like, it's like the difference is massive. But we just want to be on the leaderboard.
We just want to be on the leaderboard.
You know,
a top 100.
It feels attainable that we could get up there.
And
you know what
maybe,
I mean?
Just maybe,
right?
The Cave Spring High School Wikipedia page.
Right. They would be like top 100 cameo appearance.
Yes.
Better than Oliver Phelps.
But yes.
That's what it'll say.
That's what it'll say.
Yeah.
Like these two brothers are better than a man who lives in Great Britain.
So we are launching our campaign to get to defeat Oliver Phelps in Cameo is what we're doing.
It's on.
And it is so on. He doesn't even know what's coming.
He doesn't.
And I doubt he even feels it, frankly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you what, George, the earless Wonder Weasley. Okay, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. We're going to be saying hi to people. We're going to be doing happy birthdays. We're going to be pep talking and anniversarying, and it is going to be on.
The gauntlet has been dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look out. Anyway, that's our beef.
I like it.
Yeah.
Transition.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and as such, I just want to remind you that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. You are allowed to ask for help, and therapy is a great place for that. It's a judgment-free zone where you can just get it all out and get genuine, professional, third-party feedback, so whatever is worrying you and keeping you up at night can just stop. Because look, I get it. I mean, I've got 3 kids with busy schedules, and some days are easy, and others can be pretty overwhelming. I mean, I'll just lay there in bed wondering, when on earth am I going to get to work on my garden, because Bazooka Jack is going to make his way in. He is a hungry rabbit. I mean, yeah, sure, Saturday's off work, but Luke has 2 lacrosse games, and Nick has t-ball, and Nate isn't feeling well, and I need to get in a bike ride from my triathlon training, and Beth wants to go for a run too, and of course we all want some time to relax, and if I don't do it this weekend, it's going to start getting too late to plant, and then all the work I've done so far will be pointless, and okay, maybe it's not the garden that's overwhelming, but those are the kind of conclusions you can help yourself reach and realize with therapy, and BetterHelp is a great place to get started. One cool feature is just how easy they make the process. Like, they'll actually match you with a licensed therapist based on a short questionnaire, so you're not just like randomly picking somebody and hoping for the best. And even then, if it's not a perfect fit, like, no problem. You can just switch therapists anytime, which takes a lot of the pressure off. BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists and have helped more than 6 million people worldwide, and the reviews speak for themselves, with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 across more than a million sessions. That is so high. Like, you don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
Popcorn Culture Culture is sponsored by Shopify. 300 and some odd episodes into doing the pop, and I've started to realize something about Jay and I. Not as hosts, but as people. We frequently seek the need for permission to try something new, whether it's tattoos, growing a mustache, or finally starting that Name of the Wind podcast. And while it's funny to think that I didn't realize this before, I also get it, because starting something new is terrifying. Like, we should only do it on Halloween, so at least we can, like, be on brand for the occasion, right? And when it comes to launching a new business, like, forget it. But Shopify is the tool to take you from the daydream you tell your friends you're considering over drinks to actually doing the dang thing. And if you're trying to figure out how to get the word out, no problem. Shopify helps you find your customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. Plus, if you get stuck, not to worry. Shopify is always around with 24/7 customer support. You don't need permission. You're more capable than you think. And even if you do find something you can't do, chances are Shopify can. It's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/poppop. Again, that's shopify.com/poppop. One last time, for safety, shopify.com/poppop.
You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Jay, I have a development.
You have a development?
And it feels like a life development, really.
Okay.
So we've been talking a lot about pins lately. You know, like...
It's one of my favorite things to talk about.
I know, but... Don't I know it? And it's like, it's been really kind of odd because, like, I feel like I've been right there for like all the pinscapades.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm like in it, you know, I'm like watching it happen. I'm watching the wheeling and dealing and everything. But but as is so often the case, I have like an identity crisis problem.
Right.
You know, where it's like I'm trying to pick which pin collection I might go for.
Right.
And like, I feel like you guys just like found Pluto in this like completely organic way. Mm-hmm. And then like, I think I was kind of like, well, I'll like let like Addison dictate my terms here because like, you know, she really likes like Nightmare Before Christmas. So like, that's been like a good one to like collect. But you know, she's also so young that I feel like she's like migrating right. in and out between things, you know, her interests sort of like ebb and flow, mm-hmm. which completely makes sense because, you know, she's at that age where she's just discovering new things all the time, you know? But so I've like struggled so tremendously with picking a character that I feel like would be like unique and feel like appropriate to me. And like, I don't know, be like a character that like I already love from the saga. And it's just, I don't know, maybe even the fact that like one of yours is like part of like the Sensational Six from Disney, where you've got like Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and Pluto and right. Donald and Daisy. And it's like,
right.
you know, there's them, you know, and they feel like very creme de la creme.
Right. Like they're not going anywhere.
Not even at all.
No.
There's going to be tons of pins for them, a great selection. So that's another one too, where it's like, you know, like one of our favorite Disney movies ever is like in The Emperor's New Groove. But like picking like Cusco is difficult because like he doesn't have like an obvious like color spectrum or right. something attached like, to him. Like
yeah.
it's going to be hard to like do Emperor's New Groove stuff always.
Always, right. You're going to get a lot of llamas. You get like Cusco... You know, as the emperor, not like a super lovable character.
Yeah, true.
Typically.
Right.
You know, you're probably going to end up with a lot of Kronk stuff, frankly.
Maybe some Kronk you know? Stuff.
There's yeah. almost zero Pacha for sure.
Right, right. Yeah. Yes. Maybe like one where he's like smelling something or he's not smelling. I think he's like, these he'll sing. Yeah. So anyway, you know, like you go through like that rigmarole. And, you know, then you're just like, well, where am I? Where do I land inside of all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I've just never been able to like really choose a character that I feel like fit. And for whatever reason, over the weekend, I feel like all the gears like clicked in and I was like, okay, I know who I'm picking.
Yeah.
And I have no pins.
You've like, you made your we, this feels like draft day, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're up at the counter and like we, Ben Carlin, have settled on our first round draft pick of the 2026 pin character selection draft.
Right.
And it is
Sully. Sully from Monsters, Inc. Yeah. You know, the thing that finally clicked it in is I was just sort of like I was thinking about Addison, who reminds me of Boo a little bit because she can do the little pigtails and everything. And she's just small and adorable. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, even the Pixar theory is all about Boo looking for Sully through space and time.
Right.
And all that. It's the undercurrent of the entire.
Right. Yes. Sully has affected our lives in a fairly big way.
Yes. He has a very iconic coat with the light blue with the purple dots.
Yeah. The purple style. Yeah.
Yep. All over it. So yep. I feel like that lends itself nicely to being reinterpreted into many different types of
there is much whimsy to be had with his color scheme.
Yes. And I think he's a popular enough character that you're going to be able to find plenty of them.
I think you will. He's I will say so Nate, is Big Lightning McQueen.
Yes.
Which weirdly is extremely difficult to find. But I, for whatever reason, I feel like as I'm thinking about the Pixar pins, you can typically find that Sully is more prominent among them, even though Lightning, for whatever reason, is not.
Right. I know that is a weird one. I mean, and I feel like you probably get a fair bit of Woody and Buzz.
You do get a lot of, yeah.
Pixar, some, yes. Eve, Wally.
Yeah. There's a lot of Carl and Ellie, a lot of up stuff. The balloons as pins work really well.
They do. Yes. They play very nicely. So it's trying to find something that's going to work, but then it's been fun. So I was watching Whatnot streams last night, where they
were doing Whatnot streams.
I was watching Whatnot streams, yeah, and it was so fun. And I went through 10 pins or whatever, and I was like, do you guys have any Sully pins?
Yeah,
and there were the girl on the screen said my screen name, and I was like, oh my god, and she was like, SCB Ben is looking for Sully pins. Do we have any Sully pins? And the guy was like, hold on, SCB Ben. And I was like, oh my god, did I just get
did you get recognized?
Did I get recognized via username? And he was like, Ben, where are you going to be on Friday at 2? And I was like, what's going on? I feel like there was a whole thing, which made me now realize all the pressure that we put on people, when we call their name out, in Jay versus Ben's or mm-hmm. Trivia Streams, thinking Denise. You know, who's our
Denise
trivia.
Loves it. Don't let Denise tell you otherwise at all.
Yeah, no, I would never. I would never. Yeah, yeah. But she, if you guys have never done a trivia stream with us before, Denise is the queen.
Yeah.
You know, like
she's in the top five.
Yes, yes. But I mean, I was basically what they were doing was a specialty stream on Friday at 2 where they have a Sully Chaser pin that's the VHS tape of Monsters, Inc. That they're going to be auctioning off or whatever. And I was like, I literally followed them and set the alarm.
Oh my gosh. I cannot wait for Friday at 2.
I know. I was like, I'm so in.
How much though are you so you've set the alarm. There's an event now.
Yeah.
To me, I've seen some of these Whatnot streams and I follow some pain people on Instagram, and this sounds like it could cost you over $100.
I think you're right. And the part of it that I feel like I can come to terms with, because that's a lot of money to spend on a pin. And it's not that
signing to, bonus, Ben, you know,
it's not exactly. Yeah. It's not like I'm shooting from the hip or anything here. I will regulate, rather dramatically, but I do think of all of the occasions. This is my millennial math going in my brain, but at all the various pin stores where I've seen everybody else in our party,
yeah,
spend not tons of money.
Think of all the money you haven't spent.
That's exactly. What I mean. And you see, even this morning, you were like, so do you even have any Sully pins? And I was like, no, I have none. I currently zero. My collection is at zero. So part of me is sort of if I could get a nice trophy pin that I could almost put in the center of the collection.
Your build around, this is where it began.
Yes, because I know that. There, you could go on eBay and find a small collection of pretty basic pins where I've seen where you own the Pluto version of it,
right?
And we see them on the pin trading boards and stuff like that,
right?
Okay, so there are certain things that I know that I can get without spending a ton of money. $8-$9 a piece might get me some of the baseline ones that I need to start collecting.
Absolutely.
So when people are do you collect a specific character? It's here's my my show folio.
Right. Yeah.
Of, you know, my celly pins.
Your pin folio.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean this is like my showcase.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the good stuff.
Yes. That's cool. That's cool. So here on my own Pluto pin journey, we have some fun updates as well, where we had that really cool frame that we had like the artwork in the middle of.
Yes.
And we had like the big bulletin board where I like tried to cut out the middle and make like a nice recessed image, and that didn't work out so well or whatever. But it ultimately the frame looked pretty cool. Actually, when we were at Disney, we met some fellow Pluto pin collectors.
Yeah.
And this was like this was like such a moment. This was fantastic because they were like, oh, we've been like we collect Pluto, and they like, you know, they pull out they're like, actually we have like a whole board at home, like let's show you. And they pulled it out and they showed me their board, and me and Beth are looking at it, and then she's just like, oh my gosh, show them ours. And it was just this like, prepare to get owned, friends.
So
like, prepared to get owned, but like they thought they knew.
But they thought they knew.
They thought they knew.
How would they know?
How would they know? They thought they knew, Ben.
They're gonna know.
They'd found out. It's like I found the little picture on my phone, and I flip it around, and they're like, oh my! They were like blown away by like our Pluto collection, and they loved the artwork and the frame and all that. And I was just like, that was what it was all for.
Wow. That was, yes. And sometimes you're like, that was the moment. Like
that was it.
It's like all of it comes down to this moment right here.
Yeah.
And I just got to enjoy it.
We got to enjoy it.
Now I'm gonna savor this.
And since then, since we've gotten home, we've actually taken down that particular board.
Oh,
I know.
You retiring Pluto?
No, not retiring Pluto, but we ran out of room on it, which I didn't think would happen for a much longer time.
Honestly, when you upgraded from like your first pin board, which was like a 1x1 square,
yeah,
to this, I was like, okay, well this will never be full.
Right, this is it. We're good. And frankly, it could have continued to work had I not cut a big section of it out.
Right. Yes.
In which then had to be covered by the artwork I purchased, because I could have just gotten smaller artwork and replaced the artwork and continue to encroach upon it with more and more Pluto pins.
Right.
Not the case. This is a problem I had to move forward with. But in the end, we were actually at your house, and Beth saw the way you guys had done your particular like pin board.
This made me so happy that I contributed in any way.
Yeah.
Like, because I feel like, like I say, the whole family's gotten so into it. Mom and dad are into it.
Yeah.
Like your whole kids are into it. Beth has like her collection that she does. Like everybody else is so much further down the path than me. Mm-hmm. The fact that I had anything to give, I was like, yes.
Yes. I mean, y'all look so good. It was so good. Y'all have this big, like kind of like ornate looking frame around it. And like Beth really liked that. And she wanted ours to be on have a nicer looking display.
Okay.
I guess. And there was like, you guys even had like a museum light ahead of it, like lighting it and stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very good. So we found I think the frame that we got is based, this is like, I think it's like based on the mirrors that we bought once upon a time.
No way. Like the Anthropology mirror.
I think it's based on the Anthropology mirror.
Okay. So if you guys are unfamiliar, there's a big gold gilded mirror from a brand called Anthropology that like is like, I it's really hard to describe how awesome they are, but they are that awesome.
They are really cool. They're kind of like the It mirror.
They're kind of like the It. Yeah. And so for one year for Christmas, we surprised both Beth and Alice with our extremely well-versed knowledge in the space of It mirrors
and got the Anthropology
and
mirror.
And so they each got one for Christmas one year.
Yeah. But so we got basically a pin board that looks like a much smaller version of that, but was still had more available real estate than my existing pin board.
Okay.
So we mounted that over the past weekend, and we transferred all the Pluto pins over there. And I thought it looked really good. But then this was sort of the final piece arrived over the weekend.
The pièce de résistance.
So if you'll remember, I had that sort of like sketch drawing of or painting of Pluto in the center.
Yeah.
Well, I basically got that exact same print, but it's on a fracture. Do you know what that is?
Oh yeah, like a mirror. Or
no, it's like
or glass.
Like glass.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's printed on glass, and I basically it's like much smaller than it was, but I sort of so the new board is vertically oriented, or what is it like portrait land, you know.
Okay. Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
Yep.
And then the painting is like landscape, and it's like of course it's not a painting, like the glass is like a 7x9, maybe, like right there in the middle. And so it's kind of got the same flair as the old board, but there's a nice little like piece of artwork in the middle of Pluto, surrounded by Pluto.
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. That's great.
So there's that. But then what became of the other board that used to have the Pluto painting on it?
Literally every single person was wondering.
I know.
Edge of their seats.
I know. You're like, wait, did you get rid of it? Of course not. What we obviously we had to take it down, and we weren't just going to continue to display it without any pins on it. But what we ordered instead was a Stitch poster of the exact dimensions of the painting that used to be on it.
Nice.
Yeah. So we had to go out and we have mounted the poster now to the board, and we have migrated. We have merged Nick and Luke and Nate's Stitch collections onto that board.
Incredible.
So now that hangs where the Pluto used to hang. We have a big Stitch board, a big Pluto board, and yeah, everyone's just, you know, pintastic.
Pintastic.
Ben's in the game now.
I'm in the game.
He's already signed up for an auction.
Yes.
I'm so proud of him.
Thanks. Yeah. I know. I'm really excited about it. I mean, it does. It's like, I feel like I've just needed to know how to play.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I hate that it took me like literal years to decide, but then it was kind of like, okay, I got it. All right. And I like texted the family chat and I like typed the whole thing out. And I was like, this is stupid. They don't want to know. And I was like, no, they want to know.
Oh yeah. I was so excited.
Were you?
Because it was like, it wasn't like the family was like a mid conversation. It wasn't like we like, you know, approached the edge of like a Disney topic, and Ben was like, oh, by the way, speaking of Disney, haha, this was just like unprompted good news.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just sort of like, hey guys, I know nobody's talking, but like, yeah. but here I am.
I'm going to collect Sully pins.
That's cool, right?
Yup. It's cool. Everyone seemed very happy for you.
I was really quite pleased. Like it really did feel, it was like only in this family would the reaction be what it was.
Yeah, I know.
But even that made me so like, I was like, this is so cool that this is like something that like our parents and Tyler and, you know, Beth and Alice and everyone's so supportive of.
It's like, exactly.
Oh, this is great.
Yes, it was very fun. So I'm curious to see how your collection grows. And I'm very excited now for the next time we go to Disney, because now you're really going to be like on the lookout.
It's going to be different.
Yeah.
Plus, especially because like, I feel like when you're like just entering, like everything is new.
There's a lot of low hanging fruit.
There's a lot of low hanging fruit. So yeah. I feel like I'm going to get like my next couple trips. It'll just be sort of like, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. There you go.
I will take that with me.
I'll take that with me. Thank you for that. That is great. That is awesome. Okay. Actually though, speaking of low hanging fruit, Ben.
Okay.
Okay. That this would be a weird transition or whatever. Yeah. So over because we went to Disney, Luke really wanted to watch the movie Tron, right?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes. Like Tron.
Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy. The one that came out like a decade ago or something.
Right. Yes. The one that came out like a decade ago that the ride is based on.
Okay.
You know, when you go to Disney, he didn't ride Tron, but I think He really loves the aesthetic of it.
There's a lot to love. It's extremely cool looking.
I feel like this was like his way of like trying to approach it, like prepare himself mentally for the day when maybe he would do the ride, you know?
I mean, it is the kind of thing that like it feels like he could spend a year psyching himself up for.
Exactly. And who knows if he will or not or whatever. But so we watched Tron Legacy,
okay,
which if you haven't watched is, you know, it's fun. It's a great movie. It's a good time.
I love that movie.
Yeah, like it's great.
It's definitely just like a rainy day movie.
It is a rainy day movie. I think it is the best. When they're on the light cycles and like doing the whole like battle in the arena, like that's just the best. It's just such cool like effects and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here recently, they have come out with, maybe you saw it on Disney Plus, Tron Ares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would tell you that like when I heard they're making another Tron movie, I went from like overjoyed.
Yeah.
Like, so excited, like yes, like more of that please.
Yeah,
especially because we have this like now like relationship with the Tron ride from like having been like invited by like Disney to go and do like the opening for it and everything. But then, and this, I would say that this is generally like a rare thing for me, but like that there's, well, you're gonna contest this because there's a different person as well.
Yep.
But there is an actor who I am not a fan of, and it is Jared Leto.
Jared Leto.
And it's so weird because like when I was growing up, I really liked the band 30 Seconds to Mars.
Right.
And I remember watching Fight Club before we went to the district meet for cross country, I think in like 10th grade,
yeah.
maybe. Like, you know, I think you were a senior that year.
Okay.
Like the whole team came over. We watched Fight Club together. Jared Leto is in that. And like, to me then it was sort of like, whoa, like the lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars is like in Fight Club, like just as like one of like the random characters,
one of the guys, one of the guys in Fight Club.
And it's like, that's cool. Like, it's so neat that he like wanted to be acting enough to go and do this. But then I went to When We Were Young Music Festival, and I was very excited because 30 Seconds to Mars was going to be there. And Jared Leto came out, and like, I do not like self-indulgence. I am not a fan. Like, you know, I think that like a lot of times, like one of the things I've really come to like terms with is I think I'm in year one SCB, made a video about acceptance speeches at the Academy Awards where people are like, this is just so humbling. And I'm like, you just won the epitome of your sport. What do you mean it's humbling? It's the opposite of humbling. But then I get it, because it's sort of like, you're like, I don't feel like I deserve to hold the trophy that those who came before me held.
Right.
Like, it's like, this is unbelievable. Like, I don't feel like I deserve it.
Right.
And so like, I get what they mean by like the humbling now. And it's like, when I saw Jared Leto out there, I was like, this guy cares a lot about who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And thinks very highly of it. And I was just like, I was put off in a way that I can't describe.
Can't get over it.
And it's like, and so it's like, I know that he's had some incredible performances, and I know that like what he did in like Dallas Buyers Club was like amazing. It was like a great job acting, but I also feel like he's been in like a lot of things that have not gone so well. And I'm sort of like, you know, guys, maybe there's a common thread here.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it.
When I saw that he was like the headlining actor for Tron Ares, I was like, Oh no. Like, don't take this thing that I want to be excited about it. Maybe not excited about it. So anyway, this is my hot take. The other one that
Jared Leto's on Cameo, he better look out.
Look out. I mean, stand clear. Goodness gracious. No. So I don't know. It's just it's like you know, he was like throwing like beach balls and stuff like that out into the audience and like not really singing, and people just didn't seem excited about it. But like, you could see like his like whole social media team like up there on stage with like gimbal iPhones and getting like what was supposed to look like everybody having like a raucous good time. And I'm like, I'm standing here, people are rolling their eyes at this right now. So I don't know what they're going to make it look like on social media, but I'm here in real time. And I can tell you right now that people are not overjoyed by these beach balls.
Ben was not a fan of the production value of 30 Seconds to Mars at
I just wasn't. And I was in it. What frustrates me is to go from liking something to being like, you've ruined it, and you're the heart of it, and you're the thing that ruined it.
Right. Like, right. And now you're afraid he did it to Tron.
I don't know if he did it to Tron. And it's like, I've not liked so many of the things that he's been in. And I now have this like idea of who I think he is. I feel so bad saying this too, because I don't like to like rag on a fellow human being, especially someone who I don't know. Although especially I would never say anything if I knew them. But it's just, I don't know. I feel bad. I feel like I need to stop talking. It's like, this is not the right thing to do. I don't like bringing people down. But how was it?
Except Oliver Phelps.
Well, that's different. Because also, I feel like it's very clear that I have all the respect for Oliver Phelps and how he's carried himself in the years following his iconic role as George Weasley.
Exactly.
So, and good for you. But like, you know, from like a cameo perspective, it's on.
Right.
You know,
it's on.
Yeah. This is different.
Obviously it's different than that.
So was Tron Ares good?
Well, it made me think of you a lot as I was watching it.
No, wait. So the actor of Jared Leto, you were like, wow, this is good.
Nope, not that. Not that.
Okay, thank gosh.
Not that. But in so much as like we were recently talking about Pluribus a lot. And they're, I think, are not like a ton of parallels, and not like some hive mind or something like that happening. But like, we got to the opening scene, and I know what you always love a good like false utopia or something, or like a different imagining of something like that.
Yeah, I like the different ways in which utopias have been constructed, because right. I feel like they're always, from like an outsider who's not at all adjusted to it, the idea of a utopia, it can oftentimes be like off-putting, and you're right. Sort of like, no, I don't think that's it. And then you think about it more and you're like, I see how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. Right. The Matrix is designed to create just enough struggle so that there's enjoyment in how to struggle.
Right.
And like how to overcome the odds. Because if you make it too easy for everybody, then nobody ever like achieves.
Right.
And so like what Agent Smith is all about is sort of creating this like bizarre utopia.
Right. Right. Exactly. So anyway, but we were just watching Pluribus, and a big part of that is like, you know, you've got your main character, Carol, and she is the one trying to reverse the hive mind that has become the Pluribus or whatever.
Sure.
And one of the things that you learn about the hive mind is that like they won't hurt anything down to like even picking an apple to feed themselves. Like they cannot bring themselves to do any harm even in that. And Carol's like, pick an apple or whatever.
Right.
Right. And that is like all a big just allegory for like the Garden of Eden and like the original sin and, you know, Eve picking the apple or right. whatever.
Yes.
You know. So there's a lot of that going on. But anyway, so the beginning of Tron Ares is that people have figured out how to like take basically 3D print stuff using lasers from the grid into real life.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
So which is obviously like massive technology, and there's like, you know, sort of the good company that can do it and the bad company that can do it, but they both run into the same wall that everything they build disintegrates after 29 minutes. Like it can't last.
Oh, I do love stuff like that. Okay. That's quite clever.
Right.
Yes.
So
there's like a physical limitation to the ability.
Right. Right. So the whole movie is about like, you know, who can successfully obtain the code that will allow stuff to last beyond the 29 minutes or whatever. Right. So anyway, you've got bad guy company. They're, you know, working on it or whatever. And you've got good guy company, which is basically just like it is continuous from the other Tron movies. So it's like, you know, Flynn's company and Encom and whatever. But the first thing they try to print that you see them print in the movie is an orange tree, which is really cool because it's like in the middle of like, you know, Antarctica or something, wherever secret lab they've got going.
Okay.
Where they're doing things the old fashioned way, you know, out of a shipping container they dropped here, and they're doing it in the cold, not in their corporate offices.
That are like black and sleek.
Yes, black and sleek and red.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen that before.
We've seen that before.
It's like,
yeah.
Why don't people just realize that makes them look like the bad guys?
Exactly. You know what I'm
saying? Blue and white.
Blue and white.
It's like, that's going to look like the good guys.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, wouldn't you know it? the main character girl, guess what her name is, Ben?
Addison.
Eve.
No, it isn't.
And guess what she does?
Pick the apple.
She picks the orange.
Oh.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But good thing, you know, but that, anyway. So I was like, oh, I see what they did right away. You know, there we go. Not lost on me. Then you got Jared Leto, who's in there. And I don't know if you know what he kind of looks like in the movie. He's got like the beard and long hair and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure you can see where it's going. I mean, it's going.
It feels like in general, maybe he's maintaining that look. You know what? I need to stop talking about Jared Leto.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I mean.
Anyway, I was like, oh, because we talked about Pluribus so much, the fact that there was like yet another thing that was doing like the Garden of Eden, like pick the fruit thing. Like,
yeah.
Right. I was like, oh, and it's Tron. And also, like, I don't think you have to worry about Jared Leto in this one, because his whole character is basically like one of the programs they're able to digitally print into the real world, but he keeps, you know, disintegrating and stuff like that.
Okay.
But as such, doesn't have a lot of personality, you know, it's kind of just has to be program guy.
I see.
It's sort of like learning to be a person kind of thing.
It's a great wheelhouse.
Right. Yeah. So there's that. You might enjoy that. Be like, wow, is that really doing a whole lot?
Okay. Okay.
But I will say this, the light cycle stuff, as ever, is just Tron at its best. It's so cool. They have some of the coolest light cycle chases in this movie. I was like, this is creative. I love this. This is awesome.
Okay.
So I think you will get a kick out of the, you know, the symbology of it all, and also the light cycle Tron-ness of it all.
Symbology Batman.
Yeah, symbology Batman. Whatever.
Okay. I love that.
Beth hated it, but and Luke, who demanded we watch it, immediately was just running around, and him and Nate were off playing. But me and Nick were locked in.
So you guys were hitting the beach balls around.
Exactly. Yeah. Nice. Well, I don't know about hitting the beach balls around, but we sat and we got to bedtime, and we had to be like, what? How much movie is left? And it was like 30 minutes. I was like, all right, we're gonna have to pause, but we can watch it tomorrow. And sure enough, first thing in the morning, me and Nick were the first people up, and I was like, do you want to finish Tron? He was like, yeah. And so yeah. Me and Nick are just down there at like 6:30 watching Tron.
Wow. And we've come full circle.
And we've come full circle. Yeah.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Howdy. Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, I love it. That sounds, I mean, it does make me want to watch it more.
Yeah.
Honestly, that feels like it could be an interesting narrative. It's also fascinating to me because I feel like we've gone through like a multiverse, like, you know, like era for a while in media, like where I feel like a lot of things were being like very multiverse centered. And now I'm starting to wonder whether or not there's not going to be like this Garden of Eden themology starting to starting to be like at the center of everything. Like it's, cause I always think it's interesting. Like, you know, when media starts to hit specific trends, it's like, all I can figure is that it exists inside of the zeitgeist. Like the subconsciously, we are all demanding the same thing. I feel like even like during like the like initial run of like the MCU up into like Infinity War and Endgame was probably the type of situation where like people wanted heroes. Like we needed good, honest people trying hard to make a difference. Like it's like what we wanted,
right,
for a while. And then like this idea of like this multiverse came about where it's like maybe it's the way that people are grappling with like the hard things that are happening in life. And like it's like maybe if I can let myself believe that like I'm just in the universe where this existence is happening, it'll be that much easier,
right?
You know, to think like in a different universe, maybe something like slightly different is happening and it's slightly better there, you know? And like, maybe if I try hard enough to manifest, I can like migrate my consciousness to that one.
Right. Right.
Instead.
Mm-hmm.
And now it almost feels like, you know, if we're at the Garden of Eden, it feels like that must be the beginning and the end. It's the alpha and the omega of topics.
There you go.
Like we have made it back to the beginning of what narratives we want to be told.
Right.
You know, and that's the one.
Now we're back to the beginning.
It's like what does responsibility mean? And not just to each other and not just inside of our own lives, but to like the greater planet.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, like
there it does maybe, yeah. Is that like what you're seeing in the like the media being produced now? Is that like a grander zoomed out theme?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because in some way, you know, like the art that we create, cause like, you know, there's probably plenty of people who think of the MCU and they're like, yeah, that's not art. And it's like, but, and I can understand the replicable process and the origin story and the villain that usually has the same powers, but good will triumph over evil. Like there's so many tropes involved that it's easy to dismiss it offhand, but it's like, if the world embraces it, then it's like, then they embraced it for a reason. And it's like, that reason is what makes it art.
Right.
You know, it's like that's what we come back to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the MCU is such I cannot wait. You know, I'm sure there'll be like whole documentaries about it and stuff in the future about like the effect it had on the industry and stuff. But you're right. Like, I think, you know, it starts out and it's like, you're right. It's like, do people just want heroes? Like, this is like, it's like a cool thing. People want to believe that. And then, you know, as you go on, the fact that, oh my God, all the movies are connected, that's never been done before, that's awesome.
Right.
And suddenly, like, that's a new thing you're exploring. And eventually it gets to the point where it's like, it's all culminated, it's all there, it's Avengers, it's Infinity War, it's Endgame. And then suddenly it's like, it feels like, is it now we did the thing, and now is it just like, is it like about money now? Like, do we lost the thread? It wasn't like, it started about being what the people wanted, and now it's about like what the people making the money want.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
That, yes.
Yeah.
And I see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
You can see it happening.
Yes. It's they should have stopped with Endgame and given us a decade.
Right. And then they were like, you know, oh, but you know what? Now what we're going to do is we're going to try some other let's get a little artistic here. People will watch Marvel no matter what. What if we just like make Marvel movies in different genres, right? It's like, right. You know, like WandaVision. It's like everyone freaking loved WandaVision. We nailed it 10 out of 10. Right. Let's do that with everything. It's like, not all of them are good.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Not all of them are good.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's not just like copy paste into new genre and you'll get a home run. Like you took your time with the first one. You took your time with some of them. Other ones you didn't, you know.
Right.
There it is. It,
yeah. Exactly. And so it's just, it's, and the truth is that it's hard to catch lightning in a bottle, and in momentum is momentum, which also probably means that, like, regardless of what it is for a while, it will still work because it's worked in the past, and enough people will have enough faith that they'll keep going. And it's sort of like, you know, how long will it take for that goodwill to expire? In which case, then the cool down period can start, in which case, at some point in the future, you can rebuild and people will love it again.
Yeah.
And it's like, there has to be some kind of life cycle in terms of what the viewing audience, because the other thing too is I think it's a reflection of world events. It's a reflection of the widespread sentiment, the zeitgeist. You know, like what is the vibe check for all of the viewing audience at any given point in time? Because if you can give them exactly what they're looking for, then they will go and watch it.
Right.
You know, and at some point in time when it stops feeling like what we're looking for anymore, then we stop watching.
Right.
And it feels like that's been happening.
Oh, I mean, you can look, I mean, you're spot on, and you can look no further. Speaking of superheroes, not in the MCU, but in the newly relaunched DC, you know, universe or whatever with Superman.
Right.
You know, where it's like, oh, what is Superman like really about other than, you know, Lex Luthor fighting Superman? Like, yes, it is about that, but it's also about big business white guy being anti-alien, which is a stand-in for immigrants. Like, that's what's happening.
Right.
That's what the movie's about, yes. Whether you like it or not.
Like, right. Yeah. It's like the subtext is visible.
The subtext is so visible.
Right. They're right. Almost subtitles.
Right. Yeah. So, like, there it is.
Right. Right. Yeah. So it's just, I mean, it's interesting the way that it all happens, but you also, I mean, you have to think about the individual creatives who sit in chairs somewhere in LA or Hollywood or whatever. And they're out there putting pen to page and they're taking inspiration from something. And it's like, what greater something is going to appeal to the masses than what is impacting the masses?
Right.
And so it's like attempting to understand what people are looking for and then putting it into the messaging that we can ultimately put on screen, and the way that it's pitched and the way that the executives are going to be like, oh, that's hot right now. People love to hate X, you know, so let's give them a reason to hate X.
Right.
You know, we can make that.
We can do it.
That's going to be a slam dunk. It'll work.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But you almost have to like zoom out in order to like look at what the themes are, what is popular, and then realize that that is the answer to a question.
Right.
And that question is, what is bothering humanity?
Right.
And what are they eating to fill their appetite? Huh.
Did we just understand art some?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jared Leto.
No, do not thank Jared Leto for this. No. Thanks, Jared Leto.
Oh man, I will say regarding the Tron movies. Have you watched the first one, like the one in the 80s?
I have not watched the 80s. I've heard it's like a weird one.
It's weird. It's weird. I mean, I guess it pushed a lot of special effects or whatever. But I will say that it is unique as a franchise where it has three movies now. I wouldn't even call them a trilogy. There's just three movies and they all take place in the same world and the same continuity.
Okay.
And despite all coming out like 20 years apart from each other, they feel cohesive and connected.
Wow. Okay.
Like, I'm like watching it and I'm like, yep. Okay, this is cool. I love these throwbacks. These all make sense. You're still doing the recognizers and like the progression feels normal. They don't pretend the other movies didn't happen.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like those characters aren't there, but there's like references to those characters. You can see them in the screens. They're like, you know, they're in the opening credits and stuff.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, okay.
Anyway. Yay, Tron movies.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
How about that? I'm going to have to go home and watch it. All right, guys. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into this week's episode. Also, thank you for your feedback. I feel like I got more emails last week than usual in response to our conversation about traumatizing people or traumatizing our kids by taking them on Disney rides.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people have had similar experiences. And I would say that the overwhelming majority of people that wrote in seem to be reassuring us that it will be okay.
It will be okay. And they'll still ride them later.
They will still ride them later, in that in a lot of cases it builds bravery, and if nothing else, it's a great story that they will enjoy telling for the rest of time.
Okay.
So I think that we're going to be okay. So thank you to everybody who wrote in. I read all your emails. I super appreciate it. If you guys have any feedback for this week's episode or any other past episode of The Pop, you can send that into popcornculturepod@gmail.com, or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.